Hey, I'm Stevie.
What's up? I'm Monty J.
And you're listening to the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast,
where we take a deep dive with your favorite contemporary romance authors,
asking them questions about everything from their writing process to their reading habits, plus so much more.
Join us as we help you find your next bookshelf boyfriend.
What's up, Bookworms? It's your host, Stevie.
I was like, what are you doing? What's up, guys? It's MJ. I was waiting for you.
It made such a weird sound that time.
What's up, guys? It's MJ. Hope everybody's having a lovely Monday. Jesus, it's Monday. I am just prepping for the release of The True Sweet Burn. I did read two phenomenal books as of recent. I read Inertia by C.M. Radcliffe, which is the second book in her Dazed duo, and it's so fucking good. It'll rip your heart out and put it back together, and then rip your heart out and put it back together. It's so good, so good. And then I also read, hold up, I forgot the fucking title, like a fucking idiot. Hold please. Actually don't hold, because I can't remember what it is. It's by Holly Renee. It's her new one. Fuck. And it's about Ollie, and it's in her series, and I can't. I'm the worst. Hold up. Give me a second. Holly, if you ever listen to this, I'm so sorry.
Because it's like her last post.
It's called The Seduction of Pretty Lies, and it's book, it's like one of the books in the Clermont Bay Boy series. It is so good. Oh my God. Loved it. But other than that, that's been it for me. Stevie, done anything interesting?
I read Claimed by Laura Pavlov. Let me just tell you, I was sobbing at the end of that last book. That was stressful.
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to give the plot away, but she does do a bonus epilogue of a 25-year time jump.
Oh!
And to see where the entire group of the Magic Willows is, and the kids that they've had, and what their kids are doing now, and like, it's just the cutest way to wrap up that entire series. And I'm not the only person who has been on her butt to do a next gen, because she apparently has received a lot of messages from readers.
I say so.
Because she left the door open, and I said, look, you left the door open. I'm just trying to pull you all the way through it.
Yeah, just trying to force you through the door.
So if you haven't read Claim from the Magic Will, from her Willow Spring series, please do it. And then also, because Amazon is an asshole. And I can say that because we are not monetized by Amazon. They canceled Laura and Willow Astor's pre-order for the last book in the Jeannie Taylor series. So please, if you are into rom-com, purchase the book on Thursday, because this has now made a nightmare for these authors, and they're not the only ones that have had this happen to them recently. So definitely check out Friends with Benefactors. It's the final book in our Jeannie Taylor's rom-com. So that's all I got.
All right, well then I think that we are good to go. Hold up, let me pull up this author's bio and we'll read it and then hop right on over. Hold please, slight intermission.
I like that the doorbell chimed at that point.
Okay, funny thing. Okay, so their bio is short, sweet, and to the point, so this works for us. Are you ready? My life in a nutshell. Writing, reading, family, traveling. A.R. Brick. I love her. I love her, man. All right, so we're going to go chat more with Mrs. A.R. Brick. Can't wait. And yeah, here we go. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast. AR Breck, welcome.
Hi, I'm happy to be here with you guys.
I'm super excited to have you. Funny story, I met Breck in a sprint room. Listen, throughout this podcast, I'm not going to call her AR. That's just weird because I don't call her that in the sprint room. But I met her on a sprint room along with a bunch of other lovely authors that we're going to have on the podcast coming up. And yeah, we just became friends.
Yes.
We are goth friends, as Tal says it when we were writing. And Tal's like writing a like sweet sports romance, and me and Breck are like, how do you kill people?
Like serial killers and
blood. It's fine. All right, so like I said, super excited to have you, and we're gonna jump right on into questions about your book specifically, which, as this podcast knows, is my specialty, dark romance. I'll be handling the questions about your books, and then Stevie will take reading questions after that, because Stevie is afraid of the dark.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
I'm just kidding. All right, so let's talk Wicked Little Sins, which I just recently read. And when I tell you that I'm never going to put pressure on any author, because I know what it's like to have pressure on me, but I swear to God, if Atticus does not get at least like a little cameo book, I will lose my shit. Okay. I love him.
Wait for anyway, October.
So it's an evil town full of secrets, a hot stepbrother, and PNR. Like, it's basically my name. Like, it's everything I ever wanted. So what was the inspiration for the town of Castle Point? And I guess just like the inspiration of the novel itself.
So I live in Minnesota and I travel up to Duluth, and basically Castle Point is supposed to be somewhere between Duluth and Canada. Lots of trees. It's pretty eerie. There's a lot of superstition up by Lake Superior and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So I know Minnesota a lot, and northern Minnesota. Castle Point in particular, I've always wanted to write something that's dark. I'm a horror fanatic.
Me too.
Completely addicted. Like, I love the spirit world. Yes. So cool. Like, I can't even explain it. So like, it's always been my thing, and I didn't really know how I wanted to incorporate it. And like, honestly, it kind of just like fell into place.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, okay, I wanted to write a stepbrother romance, and I wanted it to be dark, and I wanted it to be creepy and edgy. And then it was like, I think that there's going to be like some possession in it. And then everyone's like, you're writing like a paranormal romance. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And I'm just like writing away. I'm like, I'm not writing, like, I'm not a paranormal author, like, shut up. And then like at the end, everyone's like, that's paranormal. And I'm like, shit, it kind of is. So
it's like, oops, it's all right though. I accidentally did this, but it's fine.
So I actually love it. Castle Point is like, Wicked Little Sins is by far my favorite book that I've written yet. Mm-hmm. I wrote it so fast. It just flew out of me. It came so like fluid. So I really connected with the characters, and it's my favorite book. I'm excited to write the rest of Castle Point for sure.
I fucking love those books. Okay. I love them. I love this book. It was so good. And like, honestly, I feel like dark romance authors can get away with writing PNR, because I feel like PNR falls under the subcategory of dark romance sometimes, you know? So like, you could get away with it a little bit more than like, say, like somebody who writes like fluffy, you know, exactly, second chance romances or something like that. It's like, what the fuck are you doing writing PNR? But you know, like, if you're a dark romance author, I feel like that's something that's like a subgenre, and people wouldn't be as shocked if it was. And I thought that it worked really well. And the thing that I loved about it the most, right, is it didn't feel like PNR. It felt very real. I was like, this shit could actually happen, my dude.
And like, honestly, I still say it to this day. Like, I was talking to my friend about it. She drew the cover and everything, and she's just like, you got to stick with this current paranormal horror romance. Like, it's totally your vibe. It's totally your thing. And I'm like, it wasn't paranormal to me. Like, paranormal to me is like a goblin or like a, like a serious monster or something like that. Like, spirits to me is like they're real.
It's like very much on that line, you know, because it's like PNR to people who may not believe in spirits and like the afterlife, but it's very real to people who are like very involved and believe in that shit. I was like, bro, this is real. This is real. I feel like we're both on the same journey of like finding our niche, right? And I found my niche in like dark horror romance and like in the gory. And it's just like, listen, I'm not leaving it. You can't make me. Sorry. It's fine. All right. So is her name Vera? Is that how you pronounce it?
I pronounce it Vera.
Okay, Vera. Because listen, I always fucking, in my head, I'm like, eh, you know, I'm just going to go with the first thing that comes to my mind. So I went with Vera, but it's okay. Okay, so Vera, our main character, such a badass. Okay, from the first fucking chapter, that hoe was like, bitch, I ain't moving. I hate to tell you. No, ain't happening, mom. So, and like, she's a badass even when, and Malik, right? Did I get that one right?
I say Malik.
Now, fucking shit. Malik, whatever.
Close enough.
Zane Malik, oh my God. I just love him even more now. Anyways, so even when Malik was like at his worst, you know, giving his best, there was like no backing down from her. And I love, everybody on this podcast knows, I love me a good, strong female character. So what was your favorite part of writing her?
I loved to write her fighting back. I feel like all the characters that I've written so far, not that there's been like a journey of me writing like weaker female characters to stronger female characters. And Vera was definitely the strongest character that I've written. Yes, she's stubborn. Yes, she's like broken in a way, but she also like, she knows what she wants. She goes to Castle Point where there's Malik and these three guys who are super effing intimidating. And like, they could basically just break her in half, you know, and she fights back the entire time. Like, she does not bow down. Mm-mm. She's like raising up her middle fingers and she's saying fuck you as she's running through like a town that she can't escape from, you know. It's like, she, I loved writing the strongness and the perseverance of her.
Yeah, I love that. And listen, I think that I feel like a weak female character is like a really bad like connotation. I feel like there is no weak female character, right? I feel like even when they are softer, that they're still strong in their own ways, because I believe that women as a unit have different strengths, like in the way that, you know, I may be strong is different from like Stevie and from you, and that may look different to the outside world. It may look like, you know, maybe I might be a little weaker than like Ronda Rousey or some shit like
that. Right, exactly.
I'll still open up a can of whoop ass on somebody when I need to. But I loved her fight. I loved her spirit. I love how like they were never going to break that shit. Didn't matter what they did. And I'm going to say right now, they fucking put her through the ringer, bitch. They were not playing games. Should not
be alive right now.
All I'm saying is that if I went to Castle Point and I showed up, and because I read dark romance novels, I just know that if I showed up and I had like four intimidating men like there, I'd be like, oh, this is going to be so good. This is going to be so fun. This is my dream. So let's talk about Malik. I'm in love. I love him and all of his little twisted parts, all his little angry man self. So when writing him, what do you think was the hardest part, like trying to convey?
I find that it's hard to, sometimes my characters want to just take a story of their own, and it's really hard for me to like stay on my outline. Like, this is how you're supposed to be written. This is the personality that you're supposed to have. I could have written them so much darker and with so much more hate, but I feel like there had to be some softness at some point.
Yeah.
For them to show the affection that was growing between them. Mm-hmm. That I think is the hardest point, is being able to relay the actual emotion when there is so much angst between them, because it was so heavy writing it, the hate that they had between each other. And there was so much of it before it turned into a love.
Yeah. That's always my hard part too, is like that middle ground area. Yeah. I told Stevie like a while ago when I was first writing The Lies We Steal, it's like my first really like enemies to lovers. I was like, I got the enemy shit down pat. Them fuckers hate each other. But exactly.
Every time it's so easy to write
yeah. it. I'm like, they fucking hate each other. They are nasty and mean. And then I'm like, I gotta make these bitches fall in love.
Yes.
And I don't
like
know
when to do that. Like at and what point like, is the turning point?
Exactly. It's that limbo area. And I don't know if you were in the sprint room when I was talking to Savage about because she was having the same problem, and I was like, anytime I have that issue, I always go back to that limbo stage where they don't hate each other, they're not friends, they're just like in this weird, awkward, don't know how to feel for each other. Yep. And I add like two more chapters because I feel like that gives enough like limbo yeah. before we move to like love, because I can always handle the love part of it too, but it's like the transition exactly. of like what is the switch that makes them.
Exactly. Fucking,
you know, you're like, oh, just kidding, I love this bitch.
Exactly. Every time and being able to make it like fluid and not like an instant flip of a switch, because I've struggled with that too, where it doesn't seem like natural in any way, like I hate you and then all of a sudden I love you, and it's like, well, wait, when did that point actually turn?
Yeah, like what happened?
That's a good idea though, to make a couple extra chapters.
Yeah. I feel like that gives me enough, like, that gives you enough space to kind of make it organic for them to fall into, like, a more, like, loving area into where they were. But I always struggled with that shit. I was like, damn, I don't know how I think I made them hate each other a little too much.
I that's exactly how I felt. I think that they're being a little too rough on each other.
I need to switch it up. All right. So you already answered question number 4, which was like, did you intend for it to be PNR? And obviously you did not. So are there any plans to write books for the other three nightmares, Felix, Levi, and Atticus?
Yes. So the next book is coming out in October. And then I think that I'll just be releasing the last ones every single October, right yeah. before Halloween.
Oh my God, a year apart? Oh my God, wait, hold up, time out. Do you have the order in, like, do you know, like, have you told people who's coming first? No? Fuck!
No, I haven't yet.
I'm gonna ask you on Instagram later, because yeah. I swear to fucking God, if I gotta wait 3 years for Atticus, because he's the last one, that always happens to me.
I love Atticus.
I love him. I was like, ooh, that's the one I want. I want him.
I love it's him. Always, they're, it's always the last they're one. All gonna be good, but I'm excited for the next one, because there's gonna be, like, male, female, female scenes, and I'm just like, I jump out my window my right now.
MJ's ready. I'm deep breaths. I love that shit. All right, so let's talk about Black Ridge Prep, which is your upcoming series. And we don't really have a lot to go on with this one because I haven't read it, but tell us a little bit about it.
So this book has literally aged me 20 years. I have redone the outline about 50 times. As you know, I was like editing as you were sprinting, and I was yeah. still changing it. And I just got it back to actually last night from my editor.
Nice.
So before this, I was actually just editing it. So basically it's about, I don't want to get into it too much, but it's basically underground fighting. There's mafia, and then, the girl is a child of a serial killer, and she actually falls in love with a serial killer. So yeah. it's there's dark, there's some mystery, there's like a copycat that's going on, and she's at risk, and I would say she's pretty close to Vera in like the strong department. She definitely fights back. She's actually in like the underground fighting. So
well,
she's
hell
like
yeah, she should be. Her dad. Exactly. Parent was a serial killer.
Exactly.
You gotta have a strong backbone.
Exactly. And like, just because you're a little bit more of an horror enthusiast, I was really trying to figure out what serial killer I really wanted to kind of like do like a little bit of a baseline off of.
Uh-huh.
And I chose Charles Manson.
Oh!
And I don't know much about him. And I've had to do some research, and I'm just like, it's been like the funnest research time of my entire life. Just
yeah, that man literally made songs with the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Nobody ever talks about that. Like, he literally wrote songs with the Beach Boys. Like, it was weird for like a minute, but oh my God, I love that. I'm excited. I love a good, so like I love any type of dark romance, but I love when it's like scary. Like I love a good, because Stephen King is my idol, the love of my life, my king. I love him. And anytime that people incorporate both the scary and love, I'm like, it's me in a book, because I'm a hopeless romantic, but at the same time, I could probably slice and dice you and know how to do it
easily. No easily. Remorse.
None. All right. So if Wicked Little Sins could be turned into a movie or like a TV series, who would you cast in the lead roles and why? Everybody hates this question.
I read it beforehand and I'm like, okay, I really have to think about this. The girl who snapped into my head was Lucy Hale.
Oh, love Lucy Hale. Ooh, like a dark, edgy Lucy Hale.
Like a dark, edgy Lucy Hale.
Okay.
I can't, gosh, for a guy, it's so hard for me to, who would you pick?
For Malik?
Mm-hmm.
Malik, fuck my life. I did it again. On a spot like that. Hold up. Okay. Give me a second. Have you, he's on TikTok. Have you seen that guy? He's like real tatted up. He's got a skull on the back of his back.
And people, talking about Will Hilly or whatever.
Him, yes. Him. When I was reading him, that's who I was picturing the whole time. I was like, he's hot. And he does like all of those. He does all those TikTok videos of like his dog and like fire and like chains.
Oh my gosh, the chains.
And I'm like, sir, you are
and like the bat
author's wet dream.
The bat with the spikes.
For real. And there's a video, and it's a while back. I have it saved on TikTok. I'll send it to you. Of like him and like three other guys. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
I think I know what you're talking about. It's just
perfect. He would be Chef Kisses.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've cast him. I don't know what his name is. His name is Will.
I would call him Will.
Okay. Will is his name. I don't know who he is on TikTok, but we have nailed it down. All right. So last question on this portion is, what is next for you in general, in like 2022?
I have a lot planned for 2022. So I have all three books of Black Ridge prep. Those are releasing March, April, and May. So one after another, I'm halfway through book two. I have two paranormal monster anthologies, which I'm writing. I have another anthology. I have a Christmas one this year. And
crazy.
I know I'm planning so much. And honestly, some of it's probably going to be pushed out to 2023, but I'm getting Black Ridge prep done, my anthos, and Castle Point book two. That's for sure.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Oh my God. I can't wait. Oh, and then also she's going to NOLA.
And I'm going to NOLA.
We'll be there together. My first
author signing. I'm so excited.
Me too. I'm going to vomit everywhere. I need to be.
Please don't.
I need to be at a table. See, I'm a social butterfly. Like once I warm up, I'm going to be fine. But I need somebody next to me to tell me how the fuck to do this shit. Because like, I don't know what to do. Like, I just show up and be like,
people that are going to that signing have never signed before either.
I know, but still. Oh, great. Wait a minute.
First, I'm like, next to you and like Holly. Like,
that's what I was going to say. I hope I'm like wedged in between you and Holly, because Holly knows what she's doing. And she was giving advice. And I was like, oh my God, I need to be next to that hoe. Please.
I know. I just want to sit next to her. She's like been sprinting with me. She's like calming me down a little bit. It's just like, okay.
She is literally the fairy godmother of the sprint room. Yes. I feel like she's the only one who has a level head most of the time. All the rest of us, like Rams and Liza and you and me, we're like all over the fucking place. And Kat and Callie, they're all over the fucking place. And then there's Holly. She's like, we're just chill.
Like no caps.
She's just, and she doesn't even sit exclamation marks.
I know.
Period. Yes. And you're like, oh, like where's the emotion? All of us are like sending gifts of like us hyperventilating. And she's just like, going to be okay, period.
Damn, I love her so much.
Me too. I love her. All right. So Stevie, you can go ahead and take your reading questions now that I've been talking for the majority of this motherfucker.
Like you normally do.
Yeah. You know, well, I tell you to interrupt me and you don't do it.
It's because I like when people leave comments about our show and that you talk a lot.
I don't. It makes me feel bad because then it makes me seem like I'm over dominating this podcast and people are like, damn, MJ, shut the fuck up and let Stevie talk. And I try.
I like it though, because you're bringing
about you.
You're bringing the hype though. And there needs to be some hype.
I know, but I do try to get Stevie to talk and she just doesn't. And then it continues to make me look bad. And it's like, damn, Stevie, you're making me look bad.
I have a very weird personality.
I know, it's fine.
Not one for this. Okay, so it's fine. I'm the organizer of this person, of this group. I'm the only person that color coordinates.
What's your?
Okay, so what book has your favorite cover? Now, this can be one of your own or someone else's.
Ooh. Your latest cover, Monty, I have shown to everybody. Like Cassie is literally so talented.
Fucking goddess.
Her and Kat M, both cover designers, are literally like anything that either of them create, it's like blowing my mind. Like the flowers that are like weaving in and out of the letters of your latest cover, it stops my heart. Like one of my all-time favorite covers. Literally.
Oh my God, shut up. Nobody's ever said my cover on here before, and that makes me so happy.
Yeah, literally.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Shout out Cassie. You the bomb, bitch. I love you.
Yes, love Cassie.
She fucking, so the original, which is right here because I was making a TikTok with it. I don't just normally sit with my book like next to me. So the original was a fucking pre-made. I found it on her website. She wasn't taking customs because she was doing a mental health break. And I was like, damn, but good for you. And I was like, I wanted you to do my covers, but I was like, whatever, cool, fine. And then I was trying to find covers and I saw this one on her pre-made. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm buying that. And then she opened up customs after I fucking did this one. And I was like, yo, dog, just make it look like this, but different. Just do the whole series. I'll pay. And she did. And she did fucking awesome. And I love her. And I love your covers. The one for Wicked Little Sins with the planchette on it. I was like, sign me the fuck up. Even if I didn't know you and I would have saw that cover, I was like, oh yeah.
Oh, I love that cover. My friend drew it. She's
drew it?
Yes.
Oh fuck, and that's epic.
Yeah, she did do some photos, but she also drew my motorcycle series. Mm-hmm. She drew those by hand too. She's a super talented artist. Yeah.
Not me going to look it up right now.
I know. Imagine being talented. Not me. Could never be me. Could never. All right. What is that your favorite cover of all of your books too?
Wicked Little Sins for sure.
Yeah. All right, Stevie.
So what attracts you to a book? The cover, the blurb, a recommendation, or the title?
The cover instantly. It has to have a good cover. And I'm really realizing that if you don't have a good cover, it could spoil the entire story. It doesn't matter if you have a phenomenal blurb. It doesn't matter if your story's awesome. If you have a shitty cover, it takes away from your sales. So
absolutely, without a doubt. And the thing is like, if you have a bomb ass cover, sales fucking go through the roof. People will just pick that shit up because they like the cover.
Exactly.
As somebody who is realizing that after writing
that's
the
lies you steal. How it is with discreet covers on TikTok too, though, is that now authors are being pushed towards discreet covers because people want them.
I love a discreet cover.
And they will literally buy every single one.
I'll be completely honest with you. I would love to just do discreet covers for the rest of my career. I love a discreet cover. Mostly because there's so many, and I don't get me wrong, like I love hot guys on cover too, but I feel like for me personally, trying to find a good cover model, you know, you're going to have to find like a good photographer who's selling like, you know, images that nobody can get anywhere else. And if you can do that, awesome. I personally cannot do that right now. I do know that eventually I want to do limited edition like boy covers or whatever, like the men on the covers for the boys, but I think predominantly I really just want to do discreet. I think they're so pretty
and they're so pop, like they've all of a sudden just like blown up like so much too.
I was like, yeah,
yeah, I want to hop on that too.
Do it.
Candy Steiner and all them released the just great covers for the Bayside Heroes yesterday.
Yeah.
And everybody good. Wants those covers, yep, including me.
Everybody loves a Detroit cover.
So who are some of your favorite authors to read?
I used to read so much, and I was an avid reader for years and years before I started writing. And there's really three that I still read: Pepper Winters, Penelope Douglas, and Pat Godwin.
Yeah.
I will 100% always pick up their books. I don't even care what the blurb is or what the cover is. Those three authors are like number ones for me.
Mm-hmm.
I will totally read any other book too, but like on my time crunch with me always trying to write 24/7, like I try and find time to squeeze in those three authors for sure.
Oh, I love Penelope Douglas. I'll read.
I love Penelope Douglas so much.
Love that woman so much. All right, so we're going to shift and move to writing questions, which is my portion. So are you a plotter, a pantser, or like somewhere in between with the lovely word we like to call a planter?
I am somewhere in between. I've seen, and what are you?
I'm a plotter.
There is no way she could pants.
and I'm a plotter too. And so like I've seen authors that like literally, maybe you, go so into depth with it, like literally get the entire like family lineage backstory on all of their characters. And I don't go that far. I try and get like a very base outline of those characters, their story, their history, and what each chapter is going to be. And that's it. Like, I don't go any further than that. I try not to spend too much time on it because majority of the time my characters are going to pull me in a different direction. And then I'm going to be pissed for spending so much time plotting them doing something that they're not even going to want to do.
Story of my life. I mean, seriously. I've learned over the time, like, I do character interviews that goes pretty in depth into their past, but
like 140 questions.
It's okay. It's fine. Anyways, I do like character interviews, and then I'll do like I'll plot 10 chapters at a time. So I'll plot 10 and then write 10, because I realize if I try and plot an entire 50 chapter book, half of those chapters are not even going to make it. Most of them won't, because after 10 chapters, they're going in a completely fucking different direction.
And maybe I should try that, because I literally try and plot my entire book and outline it, and then it just goes freaking haywire halfway down the road. So it's
I realized that with myself, and then I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to do 10 chapters at a time. So I plot, write 10 chapters, break, plot 10, write those, plot 10 until they're done, and then just go from there. But I do heavy character outlines. Very, very, very heavy character outlines.
It's not a bad thing.
It's what works for me. I gotta get in touch with my characters. Like right now I'm watching Dexter.
Oh.
I'm rewatching it from season uno because I'm getting in the mind of a serial killer. And I need to know how to write that vibe, you know, because I'm obviously not a serial killer. So, and I like the fact that Dexter's the narrator as well. So like you get to see like what he thinks and stuff like that. So not just watching it like happen. We get to hear his inner dialogue. It's perfect. I was like, fuck yeah, this is great. I'm gonna be great at this by the time I finish writing and watching these.
I rewatched Dexter when I was writing too. And then also you with Joe.
Joe Goldberg. Yeah. Listen, the whole time I was watching you the first season, like the second and third season, not so much, but season one, definitely. I was like, yeah, Joe. Yeah. Kill Peach. That's definitely the right move for you and Beck to end up together. And then I'm like, you are rooting for the wrong team right now, girl.
Yes.
The wrong team right now. This is not how this is supposed to go, but you know, whatever.
I love Joe though. It's fine.
At the end of season three, when they're having that argument, spoilers, you haven't watched it, when Love and Joe are having that argument, and Love's like, if you get tired of me, you're going to kill me, all right, whatever. And I was like, honestly, I think he should, because you are the reason that you're fucking up his whole plan right now, honey.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is not good. This is not good.
Go ahead. I love Love, though, because I don't know if you watched Haunting on Hill House or whatever.
Yes.
I like her character, she's like one of my favorite actresses ever.
She's so, so amazing.
I was really excited to see her die.
I love watching her interviews. They're so good. All right. So do you have any interesting writing quirks? Like when you sit down to write, like, do you need to be eating like Twizzlers or like wearing a certain hoodie or like a special pair of socks or anything like that?
No, I do like to be comfortable though. Like I definitely don't want to be like dressed up trying to write. Like I usually like my blanket and like I'm revamping my office so it looks like shit behind me. But like, I usually actually just sit out on my like chair with my feet up, with my blanket on, my fire rolling, and then my dog's next to me.
And just chilling, writing just all the chilling. Words, writing yep. all the serial killers. I think it's so funny talking to dark romance authors, and it's like we're just sitting here like writing all this dark and demented stuff, and they're like, yeah, I'll be at my kid's soccer game. It's like, I love it. It's
student teacher conferences.
Yeah. Literally. I'm in the car watching my kid practice football and I'm just writing about people being murdered. And I'm like, this is amazing. I love this mentality. So like, what do you like to do when you're not writing?
When I'm not writing, me and my family like to road trip once a year. We always end up back in the mountains. We've gone to Montana a few times now. We always end up in Colorado too. We want to hit all 50 states. We're traveling down south this summer to NOLA, which we're super, super excited about. I've never been to New Orleans.
I love Louisiana.
Have you been there before?
Yeah. But I've never been to a signing, so it feels like a whole different ballgame.
Right, exactly.
And I'm road tripping. I'm trying to figure out if I want to stay in an Airbnb, but I'm not staying at that hotel.
I rented a house.
Oh my God. Nice. Just fucking the whole house, dude.
Because I road trip with my family. So literally my husband's coming with me, my two kids and my two dogs.
Yeah. I understand. I want to rent an Airbnb mostly just so I can have the room and shit like that. But I don't want to take a hotel. I don't like a hotel. I like a good Airbnb. I like to feel at home.
Right. Exactly.
So what is the weirdest thing that you've had to Google for a book?
Medieval torture devices. Definitely had that in one of my books. It was like actually super interesting. Like, I don't even know if I would like, obviously it's kind of a weird thing to be looking up, but like, it was also super interesting because they had a lot of pictures and like seeing how that stuff used to like work was like,
damn, Daniel, it's like, fuck, that shit awesome. Like hurt. Like imagine. That shit looks like it hurts.
Exactly.
I'm going to use that. So for this recent book or whatever that I was writing, I had to figure out like how to attach like a chain to a motorcycle that would have a person attached to the other end. And I was messaging. So I have this group of guy friends that I message for like questions like that. And it's called like 1,000 Ways to Die, the group messages. And I was like messaging them and I was like, how would one attach a chain to like the back of a motorcycle? And they're like, there's like a little hook right there that you can attach the frame. And I was like, okay. Like, and I was like, do I need to have that like as an already attached or does it need to be attached? I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? And I'm like, killing somebody.
Isn't it crazy though how much stuff like actually goes in it, like how much you actually have to research to get it right? It's so, there are so many things that are so technical and you really have to like do every single little bit of research to get it right or else it's not even worth it.
Yeah, I wasn't traumatized because I mean I feel like I'm desensitized to a lot of shit, but I had to Google like massive head wounds, and Google has images of what shit looks like. And I was looking up like motorcycle accidents and they have like images, and I just had it like pulled up like as a split screen and was just like writing the things I saw. And like my Fletcher was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, don't worry about it, sweetheart, don't worry about it.
Just don't fine. Pay attention to it.
It's fine.
I know the things that I have to research by writing dark romance, it's like, please don't ever look into my search history.
Literally, I'll go to jail immediately.
I will.
Like, God, or like an insane asylum. All right, so we're gonna move to trope questions, which is our last portion of the podcast, but this is our favorite section of questions. So what is your favorite trope to write and why?
My favorite trope to write is definitely um I would say the Forbidden Romance.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't write it as much, but I love to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to write it. And I even want to go further than like just like a stepbrother romance. Like the taboo type of romances. Like,
yeah, I feel like, okay, so I feel like there's forbidden and there's taboo, which yes. is the cross line between the two of them. So yeah. like how are we talking?
Like I would do like a sibling. I would do like
a flowers in the attic, like a flowers in the attic type vibe. Ooh, yeah, I'm here for it. I'll read it. I don't care. I'll try anything once or twice. I am not anytime soon, but the next set of books that I'll be doing has a stepbrother, which I'm excited about because I have been wanting to write like a forbidden stepbrother romance for fucking ever. And it finally is happening. And I'm like, oh, I love a good.
I'm so excited for it. Stepbrother has like, it's been such a hot trope for so long. And I feel like it's never really going to completely burn out. Like it's just, it's such it's just a good
something trope. About like your mother, your father, yes. your parent marrying another parent.
But it's not like illegal. It's just frowned upon. So it's like people are still like comfortable to read it, you know, exactly. and it's not going out of the realm.
Anytime you put step in front of it, it takes the taboo portion out and it makes it forbidden. It makes it forbidden. It's like anytime there's a step in front of it, we're fine. All right. So Stevie, you can take the next one.
What is one trope you would eventually like to write and why?
I don't know. So I've written all paranormal. So that knocks that out. What I would really like to write, and I don't know if I ever will, is like a time traveling romance. I don't know if you guys have ever read The Surviving Trace by Kalia Reed, I think her name is.
Okay.
That is literally the best book of all time that it's modern day people. She slips and she goes back in time to like the Titanic era and falls in love with like a monstrous, beastly man back then. He's just arrogant and an asshole. And I've never liked historical romances, but that like hopped me on the train. I'm like, this is hot. Like,
I don't like historical romances either.
I really don't, but like read that book. That book and then talk to me, because that book is, and I think it might be like a trilogy.
Okay, it's cool.
Freaking good.
What's the author's name again?
Calia. What is that? Kalia Reed. Oh my gosh, that's so good.
Oh my god, I found it. What is it? What is the name of the book?
The Surviving Trace.
Yeah. Okay. She's also got some other ones on here. All right, okay. We will do that. That's gonna work. All right, I added it to my TBR. We'll see how that goes. All right, so what is one trope you'll never write and why?
I want to say small town romance, but I don't know.
Okay.
Because I slightly want to write a rom-com someday, and I... But I don't know if I can do it because I feel like my characters will like slip into like the dark path.
Yeah.
I've like always written, and then it's like... screw this rom-com. So like I'm going to say small town romance.
Okay.
Just because it's not even in my realm right now.
Okay, I get it. It's like it makes more sense for you to write PNR again than it does for you to write small town.
Yes, it really does. It really does.
All right, Stevie, take the last question, ma'am.
Okay. If you were in a book, what trope would you want for your story?
Think I want some forbidden or like a serial killer, like one of the books that Monty's writing.
Ah, me too. I want a hollow boy.
Something super dark, super edgy with like a really aggressive and possessive male character. Like
me too.
Like handsy.
Yeah, me too. Like physical touch is definitely his love language. Me too. I want a reverse harem because I just like the idea of multiples. I got multiple personalities, and I feel like I need like one for each of those.
And I should have said that for, I don't know if I'm going to ever be able to write that, because like my PA has told me like, write an RH.
Yeah.
Write an RH. And I'm like, I've read them. I just don't know. Do you read them often?
Do I read them often?
She's like the queen of RH on here.
Dude, really?
There was a person, Stevie's friend.
Write one.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Stevie's, if you can write sex between multiple characters, you can put that shit together.
I feel like the main characters are going to be so jealous.
Understandable.
That it's going to like clash.
Well, see, but this is the thing I like about reverse harem, is they're extremely jealous of other people except for their harem, right?
Right.
So it's like usually a tight-knit group of guys that hate sharing, but not with each other. And so it's like, I
think I wanted to do female, male. So
that would work. That would work. That would be hot too. There was Stevie's friend commented and was like, does anybody have any good reverse harem recommendations? And Stevie was like, she was like, at Monty J, she was like, it's your time to shine. And I was like, hold totally. Please. I was like, hold please, in no particular order. These are some good, you know, like this is like 10 of them. I listed like 10 and they were like, fuck. And I was like, here you go.
Add them all to your TBR.
The part to point out about this is that Tiffany does not like, isn't huge on RH, but she kept hearing Cassie's name and wanted to read that series. And so she did.
I have Cassie's RH series. It's not finished yet. She's still writing it, but I have it up here. That I live and breathe that series. That is such a good RH. And I'm writing an RH, which I've already announced it. So it's not like a big surprise. I'm writing an RH after I finish the Hollow Boys. But like it's a trilogy. Yeah. It's a male, female. So three guys, one gal, and it's a trilogy. So each guy will have a POV in the book, but the girl will continuously have a POV in all three.
I love that.
Yeah. Cause I feel like everybody's big thing with RH is they can't attach themselves to all of the characters. They always end up favoring one over the other. And I feel like the giving each of them a POV, which is what Cassie did, giving each of them a POV is a good way for people to connect with like all of them.
That will be so awesome.
You need to do it. You can do it. If you can write a serial killer, you can write an RH.
I know. It's in the back of my mind. And my PA actually said to read Cassie's. She's like, the first one that you should read, Cassie's.
It's for sure. Such a good RH. I love her shit. Anyways. Okay. So that is our last question for you. You have been a fantastic guest. We're going to leave you here a few minutes to chat about an upcoming release, a sale, anything like that, and then let our listeners know where to find you. The floor is yours.
Perfect. So I just have my trilogy coming out March, April, and May. And you can follow me on Instagram for other upcoming releases that I have planned for 2022. It's at ar.breck, B-R-E-C-K. Same as goes on TikTok, ar.breck. Monty, I need to follow you. I'm not even following you on TikTok.
Oh my God, hold on.
And, and also it's the same on Facebook. So follow me on any of those handles for upcoming releases and bookish news.
Love it, love it, love it. Once again, thank you for coming on and joining us. You were great, and we hope to chat with you again soon.
Thank you.
Cut.